Chapter 11. It was a rough bunch, bad as I'd ever seen. Tattooed, scarred, ornery, peg-legged, eye-patched, and hook-handed. Looked like the perfect place to get in trouble. The men were as coarse and rude as the orcs and half-orcs that snorted and blustered around the bar. The women were as crass as the men, singing and dancing on a small stage, their voices as soothing as a glass of boiling water.
"Now what?"
Bryn Mawr asked, looking back over his shoulder. "We wait," I said, waving over a waitress with hips as big as an ogre's.
"What'll it be, weary travelers?"
She had a gap-toothed smile.
"Two of whatever tastes best with your ale,"
Bryn Mawr spouted.
"Human food, not the orc and mishmash that tastes like mud and worms."
She tried to make a pretty smile, but it was quite frightening when she said,
"As you wish, dwarf and sire."
"I think she likes you," I said.
"I certainly don't see why she wouldn't,"
he said, watching her prance away. I sat there sulking and soaking, damp hood still covering my face. It wasn't as if anyone would recognize me, but I'd still stick out like a sore thumb. There was something about my eyes and looks that drew stares, and for the most part, I liked that kind of attention. But here, it was the kind of attention I didn't want. I just needed to lay low and wait until the opportunity presented itself. In a pain-filled voice, Phineas had assured us that I would know. My appetite was barren, but the food wasn't half bad as I sat there and picked at it. Something about the greasy meat and cheeses they served in the worst of places always made me want to come back for more. It was getting late, though. Less than an hour from the middle of the night, and my wet clothes finally began to dry. The rain no longer splattered on the window panes, and I could see the moon's hazy glow. I craned my neck at the chatter about the dragons that lingered in the air, but it was hard to make anything out over all the singing voices and carousing. Bryn Mawr nudged me, pointing over towards a mousy man with hunched shoulders, whispering among the tables. I watched him, his lips flapping in a feverish and convincing fashion. Some shoved him away, while others minded his words with keen interest. He had my interest as well. Dragons. I could see the word on his lips, as plain as the nose on his face. I wasn't a lip reader or mind reader, but when it came to anything about dragons, I could just tell. Like a busy rodent, he darted from one table to the next, collecting coins and skulls, while directing the people towards the back of the room, where I watched them disappear behind the fireplace mantle.
"Don't ask for it. Wait for it."
That's what the cleric Phineas had said. It made sense, too. Asking would only rouse suspicion.
"You think he'll make it our way or not?"
Bryn Mawr combed some food from his beard. The little man's head popped up our way, as if he'd heard Bryn Mawr's question. He scurried toward us, his ferret face nervous, eyes prying into the shadows beneath my hood. Bryn Mawr shoved him back a step.
"Some privacy, man."
The small man hissed a little, then spoke fast.
"Dragon fights 5 gold, dragon fights 5 gold, last chance, 1, 2, 3.
His fingers were collapsing on his hand.
4, 5.
"Sure,"
I said, sliding the coins over the table. He frowned.
5 for you,"
he said, offended, scowling at Bryn Mawr.
7 for the dwarf."
"Why, you little—"
Bryn Mawr made a fist.
6,
I insisted. "You have to barter with dealers like this, or else they won't respect you. And that can lead to trouble."
"Fine,"
he said, snatching the additional coins I pushed his way. He left 2 tokens, each wooden, with a dragon face carved into it.
"Under 30 minutes, be late and no see."
I looked over at Bryn Mawr as the little wispy-haired man left and said,
"I suppose we should go, then."
Bryn Mawr finished off the last of his ale and wiped his mouth.
"I suppose,"
he said, casting an odd look over at the large stone fireplace.
"It's underground, it is. I feel the draft and the shifting stones. We're over a cave, Or something carved from the mountain. Bad work. Not dwarfing.
He got up and patted his belly.
Probably collapse on us, it will. They probably let the orcs build the tunnel.
You'll dig us out if it does, won't you?
I followed him behind the mantle. He didn't say a word. One thing about Nelsimbor, there were always new places to go. It was impossible to ever see what was behind every door in every city. And for the most part, it was exciting. The chill from the damp clothes and biting air had worn off now, and the hearth of the stone fireplace was like a warm summer day. I put my hand on the rock, nice and toasty, which made me think of when I used to lie alongside my father's belly when I was a boy. He'd tell the most excellent stories, and even though they usually lasted more than a week, I never got bored of them. We followed a man and a woman of questionable character down a narrow, winding stairwell.
Bah! Orkin engineers! There should be no such thing!
Brenwar complained, his heavy feet thundering down the steps. At the bottom, two half-Orkin men waited, armored in chainmail from head to toe, and two more stood behind them, spears at the ready. The tips of my fingers tingled. I realized I still had my sword, and Brenwar his axe. But the pair before us, with steel swinging on their hips, paid their tokens and moved on. Down a tunnel where many loud voices were shouting, the half-Orkin man snatched my token from my hand and sneered.
Take down your hood.
Brenwar stiffened at my side, hands clutching his weapon with white knuckles. I looked down into the half-Orkin eyes and growled.
I paid my share. No one said hoods weren't allowed. You have something against hoods?
His lip curled back, but he couldn't tear his eyes away. I wouldn't let him. I looked deeper into him. I could see his hate and fear. There was little good in him, but enough man left for him to step aside.
Go ahead,
he said, blinking hard and moving on to the next people. Making our way down the tunnel cut through the rock, I could feel the cool draft air nipping at my sweating neck. The sound of voices was getting louder now. A mix of races I could hear. Men mostly, but orcs too, and a few dwarfs as well. We emerged into a cavernous room. Part cave, part auditorium. With seats carved from stone that formed a crude arena. The excited voices were shouting at a shimmering black curtain that covered an object in the center, about 20 feet high and 30 feet wide. The hair on my neck stiffened as I pushed my way through the crowd that circled and pressed around the wall that surrounded it.
Kill the dragon!
Someone cried, jostling my senses. An outcry of agreement followed, along with a series of cheers. I could feel more bodies pressing against mine, a frenzied and gambling horde. From above, a powerful voice, amplified beyond the powers of nature, shouted out,
Silence!
I'd never seen so many loud and obnoxious people fall silent at once. Yet they did, looking upward at the sound of the voice. A man as tall as he was wide stood in robes laced in arcane symbols, glittering different colors in the light. A dragon's claw, a big one, jostled around his fat neck as he ran his pudgy fingers through a mop of brown hair. He seemed tired, expressionless, and bored. He yawned, his mouth opening three times bigger than it looked. Brenwar nudged me, saying,
That ain't no man.
Whatever he was, he kept on speaking.
Silence!
He said it once again, long and drawn out. At this rate, I'd never see what was underneath the curtain.
Let the dragon games begin!
There was a clap of thunder and a flash of light, followed by a series of gasps. I gawped at what I saw next. A cage. A series of iron works constructed into a see-through dome of metal. But that isn't what got me. I'd seen plenty of cages before. Instead, it was who was perched inside on a swing. A dragon. No taller than a dwarf, glimmering with orange and yellow scales. Clawed wings covering his face and body. He shone like a diamond inside a room full of coal. My nerves turned to sheets of ice when the big fat man said,
"Send in the trolls!"